السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you, شيخ؟
الحمد لله. How are you?
الحمد لله. الله.
Are you still in Turkey?
Yes, I'm in Turkey. I'm in Antalya. الحمد لله.
Okay.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, dear respected students. May Allah bless you all for your attendance. Today we are covering The Days of Ignorance by Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, Rahman Ali. Just a quick reminder to please take notes, listen attentively, and hand your questions over to me throughout the course of the lesson. With that said, I'd like to hand it over back to the Sheikh. Jazakallah khair wa barakallah fikum.
وإياكم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, مسائل الجاهلية, the issues of Jahiliyyah, and it is issue number 10, المسألة العاشرة. الاستدلال على بطلان الدين بقلة أفهام أهله وعدم حفظهم وقوله الآية. So here the author, رحمه الله تعالى, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, is going to expound and elaborate on another aspect of the people of Jahiliyyah. And how Islam differs with such perception and such point of view. So here the Sheikh is saying, Al-istidlal ala batlan al-deen, the argument they used, okay, that the followers of this belief, or the followers of the of prophets and messengers, they lack reasoning, they don't have faculty of reasoning. So their argument, the prophets and messengers, is so weak, irrational, doesn't make sense. So this is what their argument, the people of Jahiliyyah, because they look to the followers of the prophets and messengers. They are light-minded, simple people. They are not from among the elite. They are not what they call free thinkers or philosophers, etc. So that is, it was sufficient for them, sufficient proof for them that this da'wah, this message, this call, that this prophet or that messenger is inviting them to must be wrong. Because see who are the followers. The followers are only those who are very naive, very simple. Those who lack the ability to reason, the ability to argue, the ability to debate, They are the ones who follow the prophets and messengers. So الاستدلال على بطلان الدين, this is how they concluded that this message of the prophet or messenger is false. Simply by looking to the followers. Who are the followers? The followers are the poor, the needy, the downtrodden, the destitute, not the elite, not those who are upper class, not those who are well off. So, by default, according to their understanding, this must be wrong. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about their argument. Allah, the Quran is so unique, so beautiful, amazing. So all these arguments, the Quran mentioned. What they said, how they confronted their prophets and messengers. So if we read this, the arguments mentioned in the Quran and how the Quran addressed them and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted them, it's amazing. But this needs tadabbur, pondering, reflecting when you are reading. So if you are reading with tadabbur, when you come across these ayat, you say, oh, this argument 1400 years ago, or before that, or 2000 years ago, used. And today in our time, the same argument is still in circulation. So in Surah Hud, ayah 27, Allah says, mentioning their argument, فقال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه ما نراك إلا بشرا مثلنا وما نراك اتبعك إلا الذين هم أرادلنا بادي الرأي وما نرى لكم علينا من فضل بل نظنكم كاذبين. La ilaha illallah. The disbelieving chiefs of his people, people of Ad, Ad, the first one, that is the people of Hud, Ad al-Ula, the first Ad. Second Ad, the people of Thamud, Saleh. Ad, southern part of Arabia, Wadi al-Ahqaf, the valley, what is known today, Hadramaut. So the disbelieving chiefs of his people said, we see you only as a human being, like ourselves. And we see that no one follows you except the lowliest among us, who do so hastily with our thinking. We do not see anything that makes all of you better than us. We do not see anything that makes all of you any better than us. In fact, we think you are liars. So here, if you see what they are saying, very simple. First of all, they said, first of all, who reacted, who resisted, and who rejected the message? Not the poor. Not those who have pure natural disposition. No. The poor, the needy are the oppressed ones. So immediately they responded. Because they realized that this message is what they have been waiting for. This is the true belief. This is the true faith. This is the true religion that treats people equally. So they sense that this belief is the belief that is going to emancipate them, set them free, liberate them. They realize that this belief is the way of the true salvation. So no wonder they were not hesitant. Why should be? Why should they be hesitant when the truth is as clear as the sun in daylight? So clear. But the resistance comes from those who have been living on sucking the blood of the poor, enslaving them, making them toiling and tilling the land, teaching them just like the cattle. Because to them, they're not human beings. They look like human beings, but they are animals. So we have to treat them like animals, just like the oxen and the bulls. And that's the mentality of the masters. That's how they think. Those they lead, those in the upper class, the landlords. That's how they think. To them, the life of a human being is nothing. Let him toil and work hard till he collapses, till he dies. Replace him with another slave. That's what they did. That's what they did. Read the history of your forefathers, all Europeans. Read the history of your forefathers, what they did. What they did to the Africans. They uprooted them from their homeland. They took them by force, shipped them across the Atlantic. Why? To till the land in America, to look after the sugar, the farms of the sugar canes. So then the sugar will come to England, to the upper class, so they can have their tea in the afternoon. Meanwhile, in that process, shipping the slaves from Africa to America, mistreatment, many died in that journey. No matter what, who cares? Throw them to feed the fish of the Atlantic. Throw them to the ocean. Those who survive, they will have miserable life in the new world. History is the same. The elite, those who are greedy, they just want money, money, money. So no wonder they are the ones who resisted the call of justice that prophets and messengers came with. فقال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه. Keep in mind, when you are reading the Quran, see who are the real enemies. Who are the real opponents of the calls of prophets and messengers? You find the upper class, the elite, and Mala, because they feel now that someone is pulling the carpet from underneath them. Someone is making the masses to wake up. So they meet, they get together. We have to do something to stop our slaves from accepting this belief, because they are going to become rebellious to us. And that's what they did in Mecca, to Bilal, to Ammar, to Yasir, to Suhaib, etc. وَقَالَ الْمَلَوُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ. So those who disbelieved, the chiefs, the leaders, the elite of his people, مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا. Because they have to justify their stance. They have to justify their stance, their position. مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا. Why should we follow you? You're a human being like us. As if messengers should be angels. Messengers, they have to be human beings. Otherwise, how are you going to communicate, interact with an angel? You will say, oh, he's an angel, I can't be like him. You will not be able to communicate with an angel, so he has to be in the form of a human being. So Allah's wisdom, he chose human beings like you. They feel like you, they fall sick like you, they die like you. They know, they feel like you. You are human, they are human beings like you. So then you have no excuse to say, I cannot be like him, because he's a human being. If a human being can do these things, then you can do them. It's not difficult. It is within your capacity. مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا. So this is the preamble. وَمَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ. Second thing. مَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَادِلُونَا. See, first of all, you are a human being. Second thing, who followed you? Those who are light-minded. Those who are the worst of us. They mean the slaves, the poor, the needy, those who are oppressed, the oppressed class. وَمَا نَرَاكَ. So this is how they are arguing with Hud alayhi salam. وَمَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَادِلُنَا. So those, badi al-ra'i, those who hastily take decisions without thinking, because they don't have minds to think in the first place. So they are simple-minded ones. الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَادِلُنَا بَادِي الرَّأِي. They don't think. They just followed you. So this is another reason why we are not going to accept you. وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ. This is another argument they posed. وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ بَلْ نَظُنُّكُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. We do not see anything that makes all of you any better than us. What qualifications do you have that will make you better than us? بَلْ In fact, indeed, نَظُنُّكُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. We think you are liars. Now, can you imagine this? What was said to Hud alayhi salam and his followers? So they're saying, only those who are light-minded, those who lack intelligence, they lack farsightedness, they are not visionary, they lack experience in handling critical and important matters. They are the ones who are following you. See what the messengers replied. Surah Ibrahim, ayah number 10. قالت رسلهم أفي الله شك فاطر السماوات والأرض فاطر السماوات والأرض يدعوكم ليغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى قالوا إن أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا تريدون أن تصدونا عما كان يعبد آباؤنا فأتونا بسلطان مبين. لا إله إلا الله. قالت رسلهم, their messenger asked them, the messengers, they came with hidayah, with guidance. Their hearts are full of mercy for the people. قالت رسلهم, their messenger asked them, أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٌ فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Is there any doubt about Allah, the originators of the heavens and the earth? Is there doubt about the one who fashioned, originated, created the heavens and the earth? He's the one who sent us to you. And he has provided us with proofs to you that we are chosen by him. So why? Why this arrogance? Why this unreasonable confrontation and opposition? Why? What's wrong? أَفِاللَّهِ شَكٌ فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Is there any doubt about Allah, the originator of the heavens and the earth? يَدْعُوكُمْ لِيَغْفِرَ لَكُمْ. What we are calling you to? We are delivering the message that was given to us to impart to you and to share with you. In this message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَدْعُوكُمْ لِيَغْفِرَ لَكُمْ. He's inviting you. Imagine, يَدْعُوكُمْ. He's inviting you. When you invite someone to a banquet, Allah is inviting you to the way of salvation. He's inviting you so that he will forgive you. That's why he sent us to you, to guide you, to save you from the grip of the cursed one, your open enemy, Satan. يدعوكم ليغفر لكم. Allah is inviting you. What for? Not to punish you. He's inviting you He sent us to invite you. He wants you to go to the gardens of bliss. He wants you to enter his Jannah, which he prepared for you. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ. He's inviting you in order to forgive your sins and delay your end until your appointed term. So he's inviting you to forgive your sins, and he postpone you and delay you for that appointed term. Don't think you can escape. No way. There is a fixed term, fixed date, where you will be called, where you will leave this world against your own will. You want to live? No way. You have to leave. This is your chance, as long as you breathe, to accept the guidance and to turn to the most kind, most merciful, most beneficent. So this is what the messengers told the people, that the action of the people. See what the Rusul and messengers mentioned. Nothing wrong with it. Beautiful message. Resonates with the fitrah, with the natural disposition. But it is the arrogance that comes in the way. قالوا إن أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا. The same silly argument. بشر بشر بشر. You are human beings like us. So what do you want? You want angels to come? How are you going to communicate with an angel? You want Jibreel to appear in front of you in his angelic form, where you will fall unconscious or die if you see him in his real angelic form? But this is the arrogance. The arrogance. So here the same they're saying, oh, throughout. قالوا إن أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا. You are human beings like us. Okay, and what else? So you are human being like us. تريدون أن تصدون عما كان يعبد آباؤنا. فأتون بسلطان مبين. This is when person is blind. His mind is clouded. He's totally biased, prejudiced. He's not looking for the truth. He doesn't see, he doesn't hear, he doesn't see the truth, he doesn't hear the truth. and he doesn't talk the truth. قَالُوا إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. You are just human beings like us. تريدون. Oh, now you have something in mind, you have a target you want to achieve. تريدون أن تصدونا عما كان يعبد آباؤنا. You are no more than humans like us. You only wish to turn us away from our fathers, forefathers worshipped, from what our forefathers worshipped. So this is your objective. You are human beings like us, and now you want to just take us away from this methodology, this belief we found our forefathers doing. And now you want us to leave all this. Okay. Yes, we want you to leave what your forefathers were doing. Because what your forefathers were doing was wrong. And doesn't make sense. You are worshiping images, idols. You carved them, you made them with your own hands, and then you worship them. Do they hear you? Do they benefit you? Can they harm you? No. We want you to worship the one who created you. These idols, you made them. They didn't make you. So why should you worship them and leave the one who deserves to be worshipped, and that's the one who created you from nothing? Yes, we want you to leave what your forefathers, because what your fathers were doing was absolutely nonsense, was absolutely wrong, something unbelievable, cannot be accepted. Your fathers were the way worshipping. I don't worship them. Think about what we want you. We want you to worship the one who deserves to be worshipped, the creator of the heavens and the earth. No, just you judge who deserves to be worshipped. Lata, Uzza, Mana, Ya'uqa, Ya'utha, Nasra. Who deserves to be worshipped? Al-Hassan, Hussein, Abd al-Qadir Jilani. Who deserves to be worshipped? Who deserves to be worshipped? Or Al-Hayy al-Qayyum. The one who created you, the one who feeds you, the one who protects you, the one who clothes you, who deserves to be worshipped? إنها لا تعمل أبصار ولكن تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور. It's not the eyes that become blind, it's this heart, the hearts that reside in the chest, they become blind. قالوا إن أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا تريدون أن تصدون عما كان يعبد آباؤنا فأتونا بسلطان مبين. Then they had they dared to say this. They had the gut to say. سبحان الله. So bring us some compelling proof. Atuna Sultan Mubin, as if the messengers and prophets didn't come with clear, compelling proof. The Prophet When Quraysh, they asked him, give us a sign. He told them, look at the moon. And the moon was divided into two halves. The moon was split, divided, two halves. And they saw that with their own eyes. And it was seen in other places that the moon was split. Did they believe? No. They said, this is great magic. You cast a spell on us. Fir'aun, did he believe? When Musa alayhi salam showed him the signs? No. Musa alayhi salam had dark skin. He put his hand in his pocket, pulled it out white, with no sickness, healthy one. He threw the star, became snake. Did Fir'aun believe in that? No. He is a great magician. So, when someone he is worshipping only himself and he is not looking for the truth, no matter what you present to him, he will find a way to not to believe in it. But those who are sincere, when they see the proofs, they believe. They believe. You know the story of our master Salman, radiallahu anhu, the Pharisee, Salman, the Persian, who left Persia, Paris, looking for the truth. And he, as you know, if you study his biography, okay, he worked in churches with the bishops and until that man died, then he went to another one, and now he is going to die. He wrote him, there's no one who is upon the true belief, happened to be those who were monotheistic, except no one. So this is the time of a prophet who's going to appear in Arabia. So if this prophet appeared, emerged, came, follow him. And he asked a caravan of the Arabs going to Medina. He told them, are you going to Yathrib? They used to call it Yathrib. They said, yes. Said, can you take me along with you? He said, yes. Then in the way, they sold him as a slave. Okay. And he was working as a slave with one of the chiefs of the Jews in Medina. To cut the story short, when the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Mecca to Medina, Salman came because he read about the characteristics of this prophet. So he came and he brought a basket full of date and gave it to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, this is charity. Because he knows the Prophet doesn't eat charity. So the Prophet ﷺ gave it to his companions and he didn't touch it. So he ticked. This prophecy is fulfilled. Another day he came with a basket of dates and gave it to the Prophet and said, this is present, hadiya. The Prophet said, Bismillah. Tick it. Now he wants to see something else. He wants to see the seal of prophethood. There is growth here between the shoulder, covered with few hairs, in the size of a small egg. That's the seal of prophethood. How to see it? So one day, the Prophet ﷺ was in the graveyard, sitting, waiting for finishing the closing of the grave. Salman came from behind and trying to look here. So the Prophet ﷺ knew what he was looking for. He said, Salman, you want to see this one, okay? He lowered the cloak and he saw it. Finish. He became Muslim. The same thing, Abdullah ibn Salam, when he saw the prophecies are fulfilled, he became a Muslim. So the people who are sincere, the moment they see the proofs, they don't hesitate a minute or a second. But those who are worshipping their own whims and desires, no matter what you show them, they will not accept. Okay? Because here they are following the hawa, whims and desires. So that is their God. So here in this mas'ala we have here, the argument of the people of Jahiliyyah, still used today. Today is used by the contemporary advocates of the current Jahiliyyah. Jahiliyyah is there. It takes different forms. So if you hear those advocates when they're talking about Muslims, oh, Muslims are naive, Muslims are simple-minded, even their ulama are simple-minded. Okay. They don't know anything. They don't know things about science, about... We tell them, hold your horses and stop lying. Be objective and have a bit of impartiality. A bit. Let us call a spade a spade. What was your situation? What was the situation of your forefathers in the medieval ages? If you don't know, open the annals. See the records. What was the situation of your forefathers in Europe? What were your forefathers used to call the Atlantic Ocean? The Sea of Darkness. What were your forefathers used to believe? That the Atlantic Ocean, there is an end of it, there is a cliff. At the same time, Muslims next door in Spain, okay? They have universities. All different types of disciplines are taught. Advanced in technology. So don't say Muslim scholars are simple-minded. Who translated and transformed and transferred to you the words of the Greek philosophers and their heritage? Who did that? It came through the Muslims who translated the works to Arabic and then came to you, and then you translated them into Latin. So don't lie and accuse the Muslims. And see the Muslim scientists and mathematicians and the physicians and from whom you learned, and their books were taught for years in your countries. But still, you hear those advocates of Jahiliyyah accusing the Muslims. Or some, they hold also Muslim names, but they are actually puppets, agents for their masters. They attack Islam and Muslim scholars. And they say, oh, Muslim scholars, masakin, they are light-minded. They don't know the complexity and the sophistication of the current affairs. No, they know. They know what is going on. And they are aware. So don't say that they don't know. They know. And that's why they provide you with the right guidance, the ulama. Also, they are saying that the Muslim scholars and Muslims in general, they are bigoted. They are bigoted and intolerant towards different opinions and thoughts. Was it so? Don't you read the history of the debates happened in Baghdad and between the Muslim scholars and the atheists, openly? Subhanallah. So all these are lies, false accusations, because as Allah said, their hearts are boiling, full of hatred towards Islam and Muslims. So this issue of Jahiliyyah, that rejecting the truth because the ones who are following the calls of messengers and prophets are simple-minded people, it's not something new. Use out. All the messengers, they came across such argument. Allah says in Surah 2 about his people, the people of Ad, ayah 66. قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَأُ again and again. قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ إِنَّ لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاهَةٍ. السَّفَاهَةَ Safa, the Safa, what is Safa? Safa is this light-mindedness, person who is He doesn't have that. He's not that intelligent.
قال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه إنا لنراك في سفاهة وإنا لنظنك من الكاذبين.
This is how they accused. Okay, Hud عليه السلام.
So the elite, the disbelieving chiefs of his people, responded. We surely see you as a fool.
Fool.
And we certainly think you are a liar.
I want you to imagine this. Oh, brothers and sisters who are in the field of the da'wah or du'a.
Believe me, my dear brothers and sisters, we haven't seen anything yet.
We haven't seen anything yet.
No suffering, no
nothing. Things are easy.
Where are the sacrifices?
What are the sacrifices? What are we doing? Tell me.
Someone is sitting behind the screen and AC environment and his chi and he's relaxed.
This is the dawah?
What happened to you?
Nothing.
I want you just to imagine someone dare to talk to one of the mightiest messengers of Allah and telling him you are a fool and you are a liar.
Today, when you are walking, oh, people are flocking around you. You are a celebrity, and you walk like a penguin.
Make way for the sheikh.
No one insults you. No one spits on your face. No one slaps you. No one strangles you.
Allah, my dear brothers and sisters,
see what happened to the messengers of Allah, the sacrifices they paid and they offered for the deen of Allah.
No wonder Ibn al-Qayyim when he said, Ya mukhannath al-azm wal-himma, هذا طريق ناح فيه نوح وقتل فيه يحيى ونشر فيه زكريا وألقي الخليل في النار وألقي موسى في اليم وكسرت رباعية محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله.
I am saying, oh you fool, oh you who lack lofty aspirations and weak determination. This way, the way of calling, the way of da'wah, the way of inviting people to Allah's deen in this way.
Ibrahim was thrown into the fire. Moses was thrown into the river when he was a baby. John the Baptist was beheaded.
Zechariah was cut into halves with this sword. Muhammad was strangled and his molar tooth was broken. Are we dearer to Allah than his messengers and prophets? Of course not. So my dear brothers and sisters, dua, wake up. And you should know the nature of the path and the way to the Jannah. That's why I'm saying we haven't seen anything. See what happened to the prophets and messengers. قال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه إن لنراك في سفاهة. And by the way, many people, the moment they see, okay, Allah is little bit testing you, they go back on their heels. Oh, I don't want this deed. I don't want calling the people and involved in the da'wah. Okay, I want to be a simple man, okay. The way to the Jannah is full of hardships. You want the Jannah, this is what will happen to you. A man came to the Prophet and said, Inni uhibbuka ya Rasulullah, qal abshir bil bala. Authentic hadith. A man came to the Prophet and said, Oh, Prophet of Allah, I love you. He said, prepare yourself for tribulations, for calamities, for tests. Prepare yourself. Anyone who loves me, this is what will happen to him. Because that's what happened to all his followers. All his Sahabas. So the disbelieving chiefs of his people responded, we surely see you as a fool. Fi safaha. You are totally immersed in this foolishness. Naraka fi safaha. As safaha is something and you are totally encompassed within it. Wa inna lanadhunnuka min al-kadhibin. Here, nadhunnuka doesn't mean we guess. No, we are sure. Because dhanna can mean conjecture and can mean certainty. So here means certainty. Wa inna lanadhunnuka, we certainly think you are a liar. A prophet of Allah is a liar? What a horrible words that came from their mouths. That is Hud 66. In Hud 54, they said, "In naqulu illa taraka ba'du alihatina bisu." Qala inni ushidu Allah wa ashhadu anni bari'un mimma tushrikun. They said, we can say it is that some of our gods, small g, have possessed you with evil. He said, I call Allah to witness, and you too bear witness that I totally reject whatever you associate. Yes. Yes, the wala and bara. Rejecting the disbelief and the disbelievers openly. He exhausted all his efforts, calling them. Now they are saying, we think you are possessed. Some of our gods, small g, cursed you.
Okay. So you are not normal. Inna qulu illa taraka ba'd alihatina bisu. This is what we say. This is our evaluation of your assessment of your case, that some of our gods have possessed you with evil. Upon hearing that, قال إني أشهد الله. Allah is my witness, and I call Allah to witness. And you also bear witness. إني بريء مما تشركون. I reject, I disbelieve in whatever you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun. Fir'aun. Okay. The biggest criminal. The same argument again and again. He accused Musa alayhi salam. He accused Moses alayhi salam, peace be upon him, that he was insane. Always they are accusing Allah's prophet and messengers that they are insane. In Surah Ash-Shu'ara, ayah 27. Fir'aun. قال إن رسولكم الذي أرسل إليكم لمجنون. Pharaoh said mockingly, your messenger Moses, who has been sent to you, must be insane. Insane? Why he is insane, who is inviting you, okay, to worship the one who created you, because he is now going to expose you and make the people realize that you are lying to them by claiming divinity, that you are God. That's why you are calling him insane. So people should not listen to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended your arrogance and your kingdom by drowning you in the sea, filling your tummy with the mud from the bed of the sea that Jibril was stuffing your mouth with. Jibril was there when he was drowning, and he was taking the mud, as in the hadith, from the bed of the sea, stuffing the mouth of Fir'aun. Same argument used by the hypocrites in Medina. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 13, Ayah 13. And you know, hypocrisy appeared in Medina, not in Mecca. And Baqarah is Madani Surah. That's why it dealt with the nifaq and hypocrisy, because in Mecca there was no need for hypocrisy, people to be hypocrites, because the kuffar had the upper hand. But now the Muslims have the upper hand in Medina. So now the hypocrisy appeared in Medina. And those hypocrites, they pretended to be Muslims, hiding their disbelief. So Allah mentioned and described them. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. Again and again. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So when they are told, the hypocrites, believe as others believe, they reply, will we believe as the fools believe? They mean the Sahaba, the fools. Indeed, it is they who are fools, but they do not know. They do not know. Yes, they do not know. Okay. So this is always the case. So you'll be called names, my dear brothers and sisters, dear da'is, brothers and sisters, you will be called names, you will be, the list is so long. Okay? He's a terrorist, he is fundamentalist, he is this, he is that. The list is so long. These things are nothing in comparison to what happened to Allah's messenger. So when you are hearing these things, you should say, Alhamdulillah. Allah, my Lord, strengthen my iman. Keep me remain steadfast. Okay? I realize these things are signs that I am on the right track, heading in the right direction. Yes, my Lord, strengthen my iman and keep me steadfast. Help me, my Lord. And may Allah Azza wa Jal strengthen our iman and keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we breathe our last and find our Rabb pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. May Allah bless us with the beneficial knowledge of righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our ummah to the haq and unite our hearts in the haq. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm sure this is Zubair from Kampala, Uganda.
Where is the admin? What happened to the admin?
He has left. So you can end the session.
The admin left the session, you are saying?
Yes, yeah, he has left.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
My question. What? I mean, we have the concept of necessity. When can we apply necessity?
Okay, your voice is not clear. Can you write your question, please, and send it? Write your question and send it to Sister Taliba there? Sister Taliba.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, can you just forward the question to me? Or get the questions and take over, inshallah. Because it seems the admin left.
Yes. I'll give you the information about that in 1 second. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan. Is it right to name a boy Hadarat Nabi Islam Nabi.
I cannot see your...
No, yeah. I'll do it now. Just one second.
Post the question to me.
Yes, one second. Sorry about that. It just happened just now.
Okay, question says, is it right to name a boy Hazrat Nabi, Islam Nabi? No, you don't call our children like that. You don't do that. Okay. These are, I think, people in the subcontinent, they do things like this. No, you call your child Abdullah, Abdurrahman, and things like that.
Yeah, okay, JazakAllah khair. I posted the second question.
Question says, when I am free, writing or things negative, 1 minute, yes, get to me. Yes. The font is small. Okay. Writing or journaling things, negative thoughts come to my mind too. Do you think it is a good idea to write this down or avoid writing and focus in positives? Okay, the negative thoughts, okay, if this you mean by negative thoughts are satanic ones, no need. Of course, you ignore the negative thoughts and always think positively. Think positively. But if you mean by negative thoughts, you mean doubts, they pop in your mind. Doubts, shubuhat. If you mean by that doubts, you can write them down and address them and ask for clarification and answer to these doubts. Don't keep the doubts to accumulate. Any doubt, just kill it. Okay? Nip it in the bud, as they say. Next. What was the question of the brother who...
Okay, I'll get that 1 minute. The admin has came back, so I'm going to let him take over and I'll just sort the questions, inshallah. Okay, host.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
The next question, can I do business?
Before next question, what happened?
Sorry, there was some connection issues on my side.
Okay. Go ahead now.
Can I do business with someone whose name is Tariqul Islam?
No, 1 minute. There's a question here already posted. A question said, I have been invited to staff bonding day away from the office. It is all female team. However, the venue they have selected to play the game sells khamr. Please advise me, inshallah, on how I can politely opt out. Yeah, tell them, okay, I cannot attend. I cannot attend. Because if you want to be, I mean, open, you can say, I am Muslim, and I cannot attend a place where this alcohols are served. Okay. Or you can just say, I cannot make it. I cannot make it. Okay. I cannot make it, and I cannot attend. I will not be able to attend. They insist to know out that I'm a Muslim. Okay, and I cannot go against the teachings of my belief. I cannot attend, go to a place where alcohol is served. That's simple. Next question, please.
Yes,
question now, and post the question, please. Post it.
The next question. This question is on behalf of her sister. She's planning to move back, inshallah, to her homeland and will be staying with her family in the beginning. Her family strongly believe in Ruhan, jinn, and follow what they request of them. She's worried of the effect of being in such an environment. Can she stay with them or stay away from them? Please advise.
I didn't receive this question.
We'll be with you in a minute. 1 second, inshallah.
Okay, 1 minute. I got it now. Okay, 1 minute. The reason I'm asking for the question to be posted because the sound sometimes is not clear on my side. Okay, this is a question on behalf of a sister. She is planning to move back, inshallah, to her homeland and will be staying with her family in the beginning. Her family strongly believe in Ruhan, means jinn, and follow what they request of them. She's worried of the effect of being in such environment. Can she stay with them or stay away from them? Now, this sister, she's going. Okay, with her husband, with her family, she's married or not married, I don't know. Okay, if she is not married and she's going back to her family and she has no other option or alternative, yes, she can live with her family because she has no other option. But if she is able to accommodate and have her own accommodation close to her family, that will be better, so to be away from such satanic environment. But if circumstances compel her to stay with her family, then she needs to protect herself, read Ayatul Kursi, read Surah Al-Baqarah in that house, and all the shayateen will vanish and run away. So just keep always you're protecting yourself with the adhkar, and don't worry about anything else. You will be protected and shielded, inshallah, by the grace of Allah. Next question, please.
Barakallahu feek. The next question. Under what circumstances can we apply necessity?
Necessity when it is a matter of life and death. When your life at stake. That's necessity. I have no food. I have find this carcass, dead animal. Then I can eat from it. And even I should not take portion of it with me. No, I will only take and eat what will sustain me. That's it. That is necessity. That is necessity. Someone needs medication and no Muslim is ready to give him goodly loan. Then he can take a loan with interest, with riba, sufficient only for the treatment, the cost of the treatment. That's it, because that is a necessity. It's not necessity to have mortgage, to have your own house, or these are not necessities. If you go and take mortgage because in order to own your own house, you are in war with Allah. But that is riba. That is necessity. Next question, please.
Barakallahu feek. The next question, is it allowed or a good thing to go to the graveyard on the Eid, on the day of Eid?
It is bid'ah. Going on to the graveyards on Friday, on the Eid day, and you'll find all the Muslims flocking to the graveyards, that is innovation, that is bid'ah. And those who are making business, those who go to the graveyard to read the Quran, Fatiha, and they get money. Oh, that is a season for that. You find them there, reading Quran for the deceased. Next question.
Barakallahu feek. The next question. Who is obliged to recite the dua for married couples?
Every Muslim, any Muslim who is invited to the marriage, or to see the women, they see the bride, the men, they see the groom. So they gave the dua. The Prophet ﷺ taught us to say, Barakallahu lakum, baraka alaykum, wa jama'a baynakum fi khair. May Allah bless you, bless your marriage, and may Allah keep you together in a good condition, good situation, grant you happy marital life. Yeah, that's what we do when we are invited and see the bridegroom or the woman, they see the bride. Next.
Barakallahu feek. The next question. Can I do business with someone whose name is Tariqul Islam?
Can I do what?
Can you do business with someone whose name is Tariqul Islam?
His name is Tariqul Islam.
Yes.
The way to Islam.
That is his name, yes.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with his. I mean, you can make business with him, but you can advise him to change his name. That's it. Next.
Barakallahu feek. The next question. My bank offered me £100 cash back as a reward a while back when I opened an account with them. I don't remember what I used the money for. However, I heard a similar question asked last week. If it is riba, I will withdraw the same amount and give it away. Who can I give it to? Please advise.
This cash back, it is a form of whether some companies, they are doing it to encourage the people to use that particular card to buy from shops or co-ops, et cetera. And to encourage them, they tell them, okay, we will give you a part of what you paid, okay, cash back. Now, this is if the card is no interest there in agreement. When you buy this card, there's no clause of any interest. If you delay paying, for example, what will happen to you? So if they are not going, there's no any clause that involves any riba, okay, in it, in the clause or the contract, then there's no harm, inshallah. But if there's any clause there involves riba, or the condition, they will charge you with this or that, then don't use it. Don't use it. Next.
Barakallahu feek. The next question. I'm traveling away for a month to the land that I was born in, but I now reside in the UK. How many days can I pray Salatul Musafir for? Jazakallah khair.
4 days. 4 days. This is the opinion of the Jumhur. Next. Because you are going there to your family, I reckon, I guess. Next.
Barakallahu fik, the next question on the topic of...
Okay, no. This is something related to the question about the marriage. Follow-up question says, I mean dua for sexual relation. The dua, Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannib shaytan ma razaqtana. Oh, Allah save us from the shaitan and save our progeny from the shaitan. Both they can say the dua. There's no problem. Normally, it is the man who says that. Okay, إِذَا أَتَى أَحَدُكُمْ أَهْلُهُ to say that. But if both they say the dua, there's no problem. And you can put it, okay, sticker on the head of the board, of the bed, so you remember the dua. Next question.
Barakallahu fik, the last question on the topic of mortgage. When, if it is allowed as a necessity, if you have no option and can't afford rent and mortgage, in some cases is affordable.
It's not excuse, Afi. I'm not the one who is going to sugarcoat it. Riba is haram. Riba is haram. And if you are ready to be engaged in battling with Allah, with war of Allah, waging war with Allah, it's up to you. Okay, so all these flimsy excuses, there's no room for them. You can rent. Continue renting till you breathe your last. But don't go for mortgage. Next question.
Barakallahu fik, that was the last question. Jazakallah khair for everyone's attendance. I'll hand it back to the Sheikh to conclude the lesson. Barakallahu fik, jazakallah.
Barakallahu fikum, jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your family, protect you, protect your family. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen. Until we breathe our last and find our Rabb, please with all of us. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah bless us with the beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah in the haqq and unite our hearts in the haqq. Until we meet inshallah in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhillah wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.